Okay, tonight we're doing a discussion which is a little bit different, I guess. I guess maybe a lot of our discussions are a little bit different. This one is entitled Growing Old with Joy. Growing Old with Joy. Many of you know that Rosette, Mark, and myself, we love to go and visit the shut-ins and the elderly in nursing homes and assisted living centers. And one of the reasons we enjoy that so much is that we are ministered more to them than we minister to them. They minister more to us than we do to them. There's not a time that we've ever gone to a nursing home, a rehabilitation center, an assisted living center, that we didn't come out and our spirits were lifted. Isn't that true, Mark?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that, isn't it, Mark?
Yes.
One of the things is we go in those places and we see people that are in very dire straits sometimes joying in the Lord. Happy, delightful, knowing that they're in the sunset of their life. In fact, one of the places one time that we went to was called Sunset Nursing Home, and I just thought, wow, that's not too appropriate to tell somebody, you know, that you're going to Sunset Nursing Home, in other words. But, you know, it is a joy. Now, you know, we found there's two kinds of people. Now, I know this is probably considered somewhat of an overgeneralization, but there's really basically two kinds of people in those nursing homes. The one kind is bitter, angry at their situation, upset, giving everybody a rough time, wanting to fight with everybody. And the other kind are laughing, laid back, joking around, full of joy, and full of reaching out and loving their neighbor and exemplifying the love of Christ. Okay? And if we had a choice, okay, which we know we don't, we know that we either have the grace of God in our hearts or we don't have the grace of God in our hearts. But if we did have a choice, wouldn't it be a better decision to live a life that's full of the joy of the Lord?
Yes.
I think it would, rather than to be bitter and downhearted and depressed and hopelessly helpless, you know, and complaining about all of our aches and ailments and illnesses and pains and arthritis and gout and bald head and swollen joints and our wheelchairs not working right and the food's no good and the nurses don't take care of me and the doctors don't know what they're doing. And on and on and on. And then on the other side, you have someone that may be in dire pain, but they never complain. They always smile. They always try to reach out to their fellow compadres. And they're givers. They're givers. They're not stuck on their own problems, and so it's really good to see the differences between some people who are only thinking about their own selfish needs and ringing their little bell all the time, turning their light on every 5 minutes, and going off on the nurses. Then the other person, you know, I got such a kick out of this one gentleman one night. He is about 85 years old, and we had done sung all the songs down to our last song, and he got word that we were singing on the last song. So he comes bounding into the room, and he says, "I'm very sorry. I just found out you were singing, and I want you to know, I got out of bed to hear you sing." Okay, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
We're going to look at some passages tonight to talk about the fact that we, as we grow older, you know, in the sunset of our lives, that we should be full of joy. We should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we should be looking forward to our second home, our vacation home. You know, I had someone tell me the other day, and I'm just kind of sharing from the heart tonight, but I had someone tell me the other day, they said, you know, I don't go with this stuff about, you know, when you die, you're getting a mansion and all that stuff. Because I don't go for that. You know, God's got a 1,000-year reign here on the earth. Right here's heaven. And I said to him, wait a minute. Have you read your Bible? Because my Bible says, my King James Version Bible says, Christ said in there, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. That where when I come again, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house, what?
There are many mansions.
And if it were not so,
I have told you.
Okay. So he's preparing a place for us. And what did he tell the thief on the cross? This day,
with you in paradise.
Thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day. So people plan, you know, for these cruises, these round the world tours, these trips to the quote Holy Land, end quote. There's no such thing as a Holy Land unless the Holy Spirit of God is there, like it was when he said to some of the people in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord appeared, put off your shoes because you are on what?
Holy ground.
Holy ground, because the holy presence of the Lord was there. But the Holy Spirit of the Lord is not over there in Jerusalem when they're promoting the fag agenda, when they're promoting homosexuality, and when they're persecuting the true Christians. That's not the Holy Land. I've got good news for you. The Holy Land is that pearly white city coming down from heaven out of God, prepared for a bride. So the topic again tonight is growing old with joy. Not growing old with bitterness. Not growing old with resentment. Not growing old with, if I'd only. Reflecting on the past in a negative way. I heard a guy one time talking about all of the, and this was a preacher too, by the way. The title of his sermon was Missed Opportunities. Well, that's a good Arminian sermon, isn't it? If the bounds of our habitation are controlled by God, there are no missed opportunities, are there? No, there are no missed opportunities. Okay, now we're going to look at some passages. I want you to go to Philippians, Mark. And in the last chapter of Philippians, there's some really good things here that for the not only for the mature Christian, not only for the senior citizen, but also for the new Christian as well. Read the first verse of the fourth chapter for me.
First of the fourth chapter.
Right.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, mine for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
And he says in the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Okay? So, he's exhorting us to rejoice in the Lord, not to be downhearted. Now, sometimes Satan comes against us, we've seen it, and Satan will oppress us, and he will cause all these things to happen in our daily life to bring us down. He will attack our bodies. You know, he might cause us to get arthritis in our legs. You say, well, Satan can do that? Satan can? Satan is allowed to do different things. And by the way, we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a sin-cursed world. Our bodies are not evolving and getting better and better. Go look in the mirror if you don't believe it, okay? We've talked about this before. The law of thermodynamics is in effect. You can start seeing wrinkles in your face. You know, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but, you know, when certain people in the family are concerned about their wrinkles because they put Band-Aids on it, sleep with Band-Aids to try to keep the wrinkles from going away. I'm in trouble now. Okay. But, you know, here he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And read the 7th verse, Mark.
The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah, so as we get older, by the way, I don't know anyone on the face of the earth that gets up out of their coffin and starts getting younger. Okay, where they start going backwards. You know, it's kind of like they used to show the movies and they'd fast forward the movies and then they'd show the movies and then they'd have them backwards. I've never seen someone get up out of their coffin at 88 years old and then go back to 87 and then back to 75 and then back to 65 and then back to 45, 25, back to 15 and end up back in their mother's womb. It just doesn't work that way. We're all progressing. You know, I always say none of us are getting out of this alive apart from the coming return of Christ. None of us are getting out of this alive as far as physically. We all are going to live forever, but we're all going to physically die unless we're living in the day of Christ's return. So he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we get a kick out of going into the nursing homes. We'll see different people sitting over a different side and they'll be mixed up. Some of them have Alzheimer's and they'll be talking to themselves and having a regular old discourse with themselves. Some of them even really get to arguing with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're confused and so on. Okay, and then it goes on and it says, finally, brethren, read that verse 8 for me, Mark.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
And you know what? That's what's happening to those people that we're talking about that are full of the joy of the Lord. They're thinking on the things of God. They're thinking on the things above. They're not thinking on the trials and tribulations and travails of this life. And they're thinking about, we used to sing this song when I was a kid, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. You know, the Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. Okay? Had the heavenly lights I see, I feel like traveling on. And he says in the 10th verse, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Well, here's the thing. He wants to make sure that he knows. The Apostle Paul wants to make these people sure that he rejoices in the Lord greatly. He is looking forward to spending eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. He's rejoicing in that fact. He's rejoicing in the Lord very greatly. And he says, read verse 12.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
You know, I was visiting with a very dear sister lately who's been going through a lot. And she knows who it is. She'll probably hear this little message. And here's a word of encouragement for you. You know who you are. The word of encouragement is, we talked about this before, but the God on the mountain is the God in the valley. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we go through many valleys. But here Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, it's easy to be joyful and praising God when you're on the mountaintop, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you're in the valley, and you're suffering pain, and you're suffering mental anguish, and you're suffering heartache, and you're suffering loss, and you're suffering maybe a death of a loved one, or you're suffering, you know, so many different things. Financial reverses. The other day, I heard an excellent definition of the word stress. Stress is the ultimate denial of the sovereignty of God in your life. Because when we get stressed out, we start questioning why God would allow things to happen. When I was a kid, they would quote the scripture, all things work together for them that love God. And they'd always leave out the last half of it. And to them who are called, to them who are the called according to His what?
Purpose.
To His purpose. You know, those who are in Christ, we should be resigned to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's not so easy, is it?
No.
No, it isn't. Read verse 13 for me.
And what? Okay. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
And so Paul here is trying to encourage these saints. And he says in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's not talking there just about their financial needs. He's not talking about just their physical needs. He's talking about their mental, their social, their every kind of need that they have. God will supply those needs. And he says, read verse 20.
Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
We need to give God the glory for all of these things that He provides, the blessings in our life. There's a song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, we've said this before. I had one pastor or one preacher, and he says, you really ought to count your blessings ton by ton.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many blessings we have.
Yeah.
And anyway, so one of the themes throughout Paul's ministry was the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And as we grow older, you know, have you met somebody that was very old, on up in years, and you looked at them and, you know, you knew they were having physical problems, but they were always full of joy. Have you ever met somebody like that way older?
Mm-hmm.
We, Mark and I and Rosette used to know a guy, and his nickname, well, his name actually was Harry Butler. But what was his nickname, Mark? Hurry up, Harry. Harry, even down to the time that he died, he was always in a hurry, and he was always helping other people. He would go to all kind of thrift stores, and he'd buy little gifts, and he loved to give out. He was a giver. And he was called Hurry Up Harry. And he always had a big grin on his face, full of life, vim, vigor, and vitality, even down. And the last years of his life, he was in a tremendous amount of pain with one of his legs. And you would hear him kind of groan, but he'd still have a big old smile on his face with him, Mark.
Yeah.
And there's other people that we've met in our lives that have just exuded the joy of the Lord. And so when we get downtrodden, when we get down and we say we're getting older, maybe we're losing our mental capacity, maybe we're losing, you know, we're having infirmities in our body, you know. By the way, Paul says that we are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. You know, so when we see someone, an elderly person that's having a struggle, we ought to try to be lifting those people up. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. And so, you know, that's what our ministry should be. And you know, I've met people in my life that, you know, I remember I've always enjoyed the elderly. I've always enjoyed being around people older than I because I can learn so much from their wisdom. I even worked as an orderly for a while in a nursing home, and my wife has worked as a medication aide in a nursing home. And Mark has worked as a volunteer in a hospital around sick folks. And so if you can learn so much because, you know, it's like I had a friend of mine who, his aunt, was having real problems with Alzheimer's, and he played the piano in a church, and right in the middle of the church service he starts laughing uncontrollably, and he couldn't even play the piano any longer. And someone asked him, what's wrong? And he said, well, I look back at my aunt back there in the last pew and she's carrying on, and I just got to thinking, you know what, that's what I've got to look forward to. Okay. And we can look at in a lighthearted way and realize that we all are going to have to face that someday if we stay around, if we're not killed in a car wreck or something like that. But anyway, the point is that God knows what we have need of, and when we see others that are joyful and full of joy, he says, one of the songs, you know, that we used to sing in church was, there shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall, there shall be seasons refreshing, unto Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need, mercy drops around us are calling, but for the showers we plead. So as we get older, we're going to need those showers of blessing, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need them. You know, I remember recently talking to a gentleman who's, I think he's about 80 years old now, and that kind of cracks me up, but when somebody calls him on the phone and tries to sell him something, mm-hmm. he goes into this little talk, and here's what he'll say. Don't you realize that me and my wife are poor? Don't you realize we're on a fixed income? He has a lot of fun with it. Okay, he has a lot of fun with it. He kind of makes a little joke about it. Okay, that he's on social security. Okay, we're not real secure in some of our social security. In Corinthians, the second epistle of Corinthians, Mark, read in the first chapter there. I want you to read the 14th verse there.
Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
Okay, now I want you to read in the second epistle of Corinthians, the first chapter and the 14th verse.
As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus.
So in other words, we should be rejoicing together in Christ. And he says we should be comforting one another. He says in the third verse, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Read verse 6.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
And he says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. So he is comforting the saints here. He's comforting and saying, build one another up in the most holy faith. And he gives all the credit to God. All the credit to God. Read for me the 21st verse.
Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God.
Okay, the one that establishes us and anointeth us is God, not ourselves. Not ourselves. And, you know, there used to be a song out, and they still sing it, you know, I ain't going to need this house no longer. Ain't going to need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix the windows. Ain't got time to fix the floors. Ain't got time to mend the window pane. Ain't going to need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Now look over in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want you to read verse 1 and verse 2.
We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have the building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
And he goes on and he says, we are confident, verse 8, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul was ready. He was ready to go on home. He said in another place, I fought a good fight. I finished the faith. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And he knows that all of that was because of the sovereign grace of God. And he talks a lot about the fact that we should joy in our sufferings. That's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to joy. Read over in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Read the 4th verse there.
Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation.
He says he's exceedingly joyful. Exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. I can't say that. I cannot say that I have progressed in a sanctified life to be able to say I'm exceedingly joyful in my tribulation. Can you say that?
No.
We need to, though, don't we? We need to follow Paul's example there. And we need to be exceedingly joyful when we find ourselves in suffering, in tribulation, in despair, in heartaches, and all of these things. And go over to the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want you to read the fifth verse there.
Of such in one will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities.
He said he's going to glory even in his infirmities. And he talks about how he had this thorn in the flesh and how he sought the Lord several times. And the Lord answered him in verse 9 and said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow, this is a tremendous lesson for us when we come to ourselves and we feel like we've reached the end of our rope and, you know, we're getting older and we're getting, you know. The title of this little discussion again tonight, Mark, is Growing Old with Joy. Growing old. Maybe I should have said growing older with joy. Growing older with joy. We know that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. But we also know that we are still in these vile bodies, and the Spirit warreth against the flesh. But we also know that we have eternal paradise to look forward to. He says in the first Ephesians, he says in the seventh verse, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. And he says, we're going to kind of end this discussion here tonight about growing old with joy. He says in Colossians, the third chapter, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye then be risen with Christ, keep those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Read verse 4 for me, Mark, of the third chapter of Colossians.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
And he tells us to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and so on. So if you're old, or if you're getting older, don't allow yourself to get bitter. Go back to the Word of God and read here in the 12th verse. It says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Okay? And he goes on, read verse 14, Mark.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And he goes on and says down, read Mark in verse 23.
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
So that's really what we wanted to point out tonight is, you know, growing old or growing older in the Lord with joy. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will take this word and apply it to those who may be going through oppression of Satan tonight, or those who are in deep, dark despair. And we pray that your word would give them comfort. And let us glory in our persecution. Let us glory in our tribulation. Let us be joyful. God of all comfort, may give all of your elect comfort tonight, we pray, during times of great testing. It's easy to be joyful when we're on the mountaintop, but it's much more difficult to be joyful when we're in the valley. But the God on the mountain is the same God that's in the valley. And He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. We ask that you would help us to always apply your word to our heart in these matters. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.